I'm Lisa DeLay, and you're listening to the Spark My Muse podcast.
Welcome to Soul School, everyone. This is lesson 27, Life Before Death. I was in a discussion group recently, and one of the questions posed to the group was, what is the commonality that all religions appear to have? And different statements were posed by people in our group, and one of them that came to the surface that everybody seemed to agree on was, what happens to you after you die? That religion seems to try to answer this question. Everybody seemed to agree this was very important for religion to be able to answer this. And it became predominant in Christianity, in what people in our group wanted to make sure that they knew and got squared away. What happens to us after we die? That Jesus pays that price so that we can go to heaven. And what began to become clear is that Christians do a lot of waiting around, and Christians put a lot of things in this category of hope and waiting and hoping for the next life, and when things are bad in this life, don't worry because the next life is coming, and that's when things start really happening, and that's when real living starts happening. And there's a lot of eschatology or end times learning that happens in terms of what will happen in the future and what will happen later. And then the life now sometimes is too often reduced to moralizing and behavior modification, or here's a list of do's and mostly here's a list of don'ts, so don't do this and make sure you do this. That's where judgment and things like that come in. But I began to really ask a bunch of questions related to that. There is actually life before death, and the life that comes after death, whatever that looks like, whatever that could be, is actually none of our concern in terms of we have no idea what that is actually going to be. And the things that are written in the Bible or in wisdom texts are very likely metaphorical, pictorial representations of something we can't even begin to grasp. And so the life before death is really the only life we actually know anything about. And what if we were to wait and wait and wait and waste this life we actually have now, the one that we actually know about? And I think that the example of Jesus, the incarnation, the way, the truth and the life, was actually the way to be in the world. And I think when Jesus says, come and follow me, I don't think he just meant come and follow me to heaven. I think he meant come and follow me. Look to me as an example of how to be in the world. I think that's a lot of what the Sermon on the Mount is about. The Sermon on the Mount is not how we're going to be in heaven. It's heaven coming to earth. It's restoring the earth to what it could be, what it should be, what it ought to be. It's where things get turned upside down, and the oppressed are not oppressed any longer, and the meek inherit the earth, and the grieving are the ones who are blessed. And you can read that in Matthew 5, because I'm going to get it wrong if I just shoot from the hip and try to get it from my memory. But I wonder if we have to stop waiting and start living right now, living in the moment and remembering that it's not about a bunch of lists of do's and don'ts. It's not about pointing fingers and thinking of concerning ourselves with other people, but instead concerning ourselves with how do we want to be in the world? How do we want to act towards others? And when we start to concern ourselves so much with other people's behavior and other people's problems, I wonder if that's just a way to project our problems elsewhere. I wonder if concerning ourselves with other people's misbehavior is just a way to deflect the real work that needs to be done inside of us. And I look at myself and I think, wow, I have a lot of work to do right here and now. And I don't think that heaven is the cosmic car wash, that poof, we're done, and all of a sudden everything's changed. I think that that work needs to be done now, in the life before death, and that this really matters. This time here really, really matters, and that this time needs to be redeemed in every way, in our own hearts, inwardly, and with other people. in all the little tiny ways we can influence people in our sphere of influence by our own goodness towards them, hopefully, in little ways in helping people who need our help, in just loving people where they are. And that's my homework to you. I always try to have a little bit of homework, and I hope that you will take it on as a challenge, that you will look for ways to be better in the world, that you will look for ways to be Jesus to somebody. Look to Jesus' example of how to be in the world. He was a man without ego. He was a servant leader. That is the best example we have of how to be in the world. It's not an example of how to be king and powerful and violent in the world. It's a way of the cross. It's a way of sacrifice for others. It's a way of love. It's a way of peace. It's a way of deference to others. It's a way of giving up a crown so that you can serve. And of course, that's why the way is so narrow. That's why few will find it. Few will travel it. Because who wants that? That is not the way of the world. That's a kingdom that is not of this world in any sense, because no one wants that. They want fame. They want glory. They want money. They want power. They want selfies. They don't want the lesser unknown way and the path that no one can see. No one can see that they're working hard and that they're serving. Most people want some recognition, and most people want to be applauded for their hard work. And the way of obscurity isn't the way that we hope for usually. But I think life before death is the best sort of life we can hope for now. It starts now, not in the future. Kingdom has come. Kingdom of heaven has come to earth already. And it is to come too. When Jesus says, follow me, he didn't mean follow me to heaven later. He meant pick up your cross. Pick up your cross and follow now. So my blessing for you today is to take that into your heart and make it true in a real way, in a new way. Part two of Soul School today will involve a video class that you can find at sparkmymuse.com, lesson 27 for this episode. And I'll get into some more concrete details and some encouragement for you and how you might see this through in your own life in a real specific way. And I hope you'll come by and check out part two. Thank you so much for listening today. May you be blessed.